Welcome to the Village Church Podcast. Thanks for stopping by and taking the time to listen. We've prayed that this podcast channel blesses and encourages the Village family. So lean in with an open heart, eager to grow, and enjoy the episode.
Well, good morning. It is good to be with you here. And if you're in your lounge room, let me tell you, I would much rather be sitting with you here without these cameras and lights on me, or at least sitting with you in your lounge room. So, yeah, and I do look forward to being able to gather with you guys together again soon. If you have your Bibles, we're going to get back into the story of Exodus. And we're going to pick it up in Exodus chapter 13. Let me pray for us before I read the word. Lord of your church, I pray that you might enable your people to be the church, a redeemed people, a holy people, a united people, a missionary people, and in all things, a people gladly submissive to your truth that you will show us in yourself by your word. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let me just put my timer on because I know everybody sitting at home is going to be curious as to how long I'm going to go for. Hold on. Pete's just messing with me. Dude, you're becoming a Mennonite. Love that beard. Yeah. Pete Dobbs says hello.
The backpack will be provided.
Very good. Yes. Guys, it is good to be with you. Exodus 13, verse 21 and 22. And we're dropping back into the story of, we've already been there, and they're at the Red Sea. They're facing the Red Sea. God has, Moses has led them, and they're caught between a rock and a hard place. The Egyptian army is coming behind them, and the Red Sea is in front of them. And here, God shows up, like only he can do. It says, from verse 20, after leaving Succoth, they camped at Etham on the edge of the desert, and by day the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. Here we have what is known as a theophany. You're like, oh, that's a big word. It means when God shows up and reveals himself to mankind. Now, this isn't the first time he's done it. Should, like, when you hear cloud, you think that sounds a bit familiar, or fire. God showed up when he cut the covenant with Abraham, but he only revealed himself to Abraham by a smoking pot and fire passing in between the animals. God showed up to Moses in a burning bush, in fire, yes? But here, for the very first time, God reveals himself to all the people, and interestingly, not just his chosen people, but the pillar of cloud and pillar of fire was evident to everyone. The Egyptians knew it was a supernatural cloud. I've had the privilege of being in Egypt, and it is blue skies all day long. There is not a cloud. And when you have a pillar of cloud, there is something unique about it, and even the Egyptians could see. So when we think cloud, God is consistent in revealing himself to his people and to the world in this way. Now, even the psalmist says, he makes the clouds his chariot and rides on the wings of the wind. Now, God doesn't really need a chariot, does he? And he doesn't need wings to get around. It's picture language to help us, his creation, understand. Think of the cloud as like his fiery chariot, a mobile home in which God reveals his presence, his glory, his nature to the world. The cloud is consistent of revealing his presence at Mount Sinai. We'll get there in a few weeks' time, probably. They're going to get there in a few weeks' time as well. The whole mountain is covered in cloud, but there's smoke. The Lord descends in fire. There's even thunder and lightning and earthquake. The tabernacle, when God directs the people to build the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, is filled with the cloud, God's presence. And eventually with the temple will be filled with a cloud over the Ark of the Covenant. But then you go a little bit further, and Jesus' ascension, the cloud received him. You think you should read cloud and go on, God's presence. And fire. The Spirit was poured out, and the evidence of the Spirit, of his presence, was tongues of fire. When you think fire and cloud and you see it in Scripture, you think God's presence revealing himself to his people. Yeah? He is consistent in revealing himself. Turn with me over a few pages to Exodus 33. We're going to jump to Sinai right now. And I want to talk specifically this morning just about God's presence. Now, a few people asked, is there going to be props this morning? I have sent, you know, there won't be any hail. Yeah, I have built a reputation. There's no props. I thought there was going to be enough technology that I didn't think I needed to add any more to it. But I did have the idea of a smoke machine just like shooting a pillar of cloud. Yeah. But don't worry, there's going to be plenty of opportunities to talk about this pillar of cloud over the next few weeks. So maybe, just maybe, we'll save that till we're all back together so everyone can enjoy the smoke machine. But instead of props, we have a few words starting with the letter P to help us. And God's presence is permanent, and it leads us on pilgrimage. God's presence is permanent, and it leads us on pilgrimage. Exodus 33, verse 13. We're going to need these. Moses speaking to God after he's been up on Mount Sinai, and he says, "If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you. Continue to find favor with you. Remember, this nation is your people." And the Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go up with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" The Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you have asked. Because I am pleased with you, I know you, and I know you by name." And then Moses asked to see his glory. We'll get there in a few weeks' time as well. God's presence is the evidence of his pleasure with us. Salvation at Passover by God's grace through a substitutionary sacrifice, and then his presence that brings deliverance from a powerful enemy in the pillar of cloud, and then obedience. And then God leads them to the law. And then God leads them into the promised land. Salvation, presence, obedience. It is his presence that is the evidence of his pleasure. His wrath has been turned aside, and it is his presence with us that is the distinguishing factor of God's covenant people for ourselves, but also to a watching world. Our obedience flows out of our relationship. We're led to obedience by his presence. We're not trying and striving to earn his pleasure and get into his presence. We have received it. The presence is the evidence of his pleasure and his knowledge of us. Now, the pillar of cloud did not leave the people. It didn't leave the people. It was permanent. All day long was before them, and all night long it was a pillar of fire that could lead them as well. It did not leave them. Despite grumbling, complaining, ungratefulness, a lack of trust, impatience, forgetfulness, disobedience, disregard, and complete spiritual blindness, God's presence didn't leave his covenant people. It was permanent. Permanent. Until they reached their destination. When they got to the Jordan, God's promised land, and his rest, the cloud left. God's presence is permanent. Dave reminded us last week that Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians that this is recorded there. This is an example, a reminder. My dad always said, if you couldn't be a good example, be a lesson. So in some cases, the Israelites were not a great example, but they are a lesson for us. They are a lesson of what not to do. You see, God's presence is permanent. His plans will not be thwarted by anything. What can separate us from the love of God? Nothing. Neither height nor depth nor anything can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. His presence is permanent. Now, you might think that the Israelites had an advantage. They had this massive pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. Completely obvious. There was no way that they could possibly forget or miss out that God was with them. But they did. They were completely oblivious one day. Moses has gone up on Mount Sinai. He's gone up for 40 days, not quite 6 weeks. And they come out of their tent one day and go, huh, I have no idea where Moses is. And we don't even know what happened to him. We need something else to lead us. God's presence is gone. You're like, the mountain is covered in smoke because God has descended upon it in fire. And a bunch of the people are going, we have no idea where God went. No idea. He's left. God's left the building. I can just imagine some of the people we know it was the Levites that didn't do that, but they're like, they're hearing all this noise, like, oh, maybe the cloud's moving because they hear all this noise outside. Everybody's packing up their tent. I don't know. They're just rifling through their jewelry boxes to get some gold to make a golden calf. And the Levites are like, guys, what are you doing? Oh, well, we don't know where God is. Like, he's on the mountain. Just go back to your tent. We're not going anywhere just yet. I know they were asking where Moses was because Moses was the intermediary leading them, but they're like, they missed the obvious fact that God was present with them. I don't know. Have you ever forgotten God's presence? Just been oblivious? And you're like, but the reality is he promised he would never leave us nor forsake us. His plans will not be thwarted. But I confess, I lose perspective when things aren't happening in my time frame in the way I'd like. I think that God has left the building. But his plans will not be thwarted. Jesus promised his permanent presence with his people. The church now, us, the covenant community of faith on earth, is distinguished by the permanent presence of God. Jesus said, if you love me, John 14:23, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our home with him. Abide, remain. Matthew 16:18, after Peter confesses Christ as Lord, Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Jesus' presence is permanent with his covenant community of faith until we reach his rest. Until we enter the promised land, the covenant community of faith has the guaranteed promise of God's presence. We can lose perspective when things aren't happening in our time frame. But I am convinced, absolutely and utterly convinced, that God's plan will be worked out by his presence with us. Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. All nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age. God's presence with us is permanent, absolutely permanent. And his presence leads us on pilgrimage. His presence leads us on pilgrimage. It said the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire led them by day or by night. Fire gave them light so they could travel at night. His presence leads us on pilgrimage. He is our guide. He is taking us somewhere to a future destination. That's what a pilgrimage is, with a definite destination. Jesus, when he called his disciples, what did he say to them? Come and follow me. He was going somewhere. The church, God's covenant community on earth, is going somewhere. The Israelites, when the cloud moved, they packed up, put everything on the back of the donkeys, and followed. And when the cloud stopped, they stopped and pitched their tents. God's presence is our guide. It is leading us into his ways. It led them to obedience. It led them to the law. And then it led them through obedience, learning his ways, all the way to the promised land. Now, I do think that the Israelites did have an advantage over us. Now, we know that that was God's covenant community in infancy, but comparing the Sinai Desert and New Zealand, there was no risk for the Israelites to get confused and think, ah, it looks pretty nice here, I'll just stop. There was no risk of them getting comfortable and settling down and not following and continuing on to the promised land. The 21st century church, the church in New Zealand, a land literally flowing with milk and honey, we are at great risk of looking around and going, ah, it's pretty comfortable here. I think we'll just stay. If Dave's right, and I think he is, that the greatest threat to Christian faithfulness is forgetfulness, a very close second for us right now in this season is comfort. The second greatest threat to the church, I believe, right now is comfort that breeds apathy and stagnation. We just think we'll live our best life now. This is not as good as it gets. God's permanent presence with his covenant community on earth is leading us on a pilgrimage to an ultimate destination. It is so much better, so much greater. We are at risk of sailing into a comfortable routine and enjoy a measure of God's presence, a measure of his power, a measure of his provision, and miss out and not go all the way in and follow his presence all the way into the promised land. But the church of Jesus Christ, the church that Jesus is building through his presence, by his presence with us, is the advancing force of the kingdom on earth. We are moving forward. We are on a pilgrimage. We have the presence through the Holy Spirit to guide us. John 16:13 says that when the Spirit comes, he will guide us in all truth. He will lead us. And Romans 8:14, those who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. Only six verses later, Paul is discussing the redemption and the future hope of all of creation. Where is God leading the sons of God? Where is the Spirit leading the sons of God? He's leading them into the redemption of the whole earth. God's presence is not for our enjoyment alone. It is true what the psalmist said in Psalm 16, that in his presence is fullness of joy. But his presence is to lead us in his ways, for his purposes, to his ultimate presence. Psalm 84, verse 5-7. God said this to us in 2015 when we were preparing to go somewhere, and he showed me this, and I'm like, okay, God, I'll go anywhere. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. Remember back to last week when Dave was talking about 12 springs. As they pass through the valley of Baca, death, they make a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength until when? Till each appears before God in Zion. God's presence is leading us on pilgrimage into his perfect presence. Into Zion, into the new heavens and the new earth. I'm convinced that God will, by his presence, get everything he paid for in Christ. John 3:16. Well-worn scripture, 3:17, isn't quoted quite so frequently. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. The world. The rock that was not carved by human hands has been and will continue to smash every other kingdom until it fills the whole earth. Jesus said, the leaven will go and it will rise the whole loaf. The knowledge of the kingdom of God will cover the face of the earth as the waters cover the sea. Jesus will have everything he paid for, everyone. And before that throne, there will be tribes of every tongue and every nation worshiping before him. God has called us to be a people on pilgrimage. Not to be sitting comfortable. Now, you know what? We live in a season in the 21st century, we've been very comfortable. And things have gotten very uncomfortable lately for many of us. Very uncomfortable. Still nowhere near as uncomfortable as it was for the disciples. Still nowhere near as uncomfortable as it's been for the church for some 2,000 years. But there is an opportunity now to step up and leave our comfort and be willing to walk on with God into the fullness of what he has for his creation. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 21, please, and I'm going to close. Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. There was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. Then I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Now the dwelling of God is with men. We have a measure of God's presence now. But there is the ultimate theophany coming when God will dwell with men and he will live with them. They will be his people and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. 22 verses 3 and 5. No longer will there be any curse. No longer. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him, and they will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There'll be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. God's presence is permanent with his covenant community on earth, and he is leading us by his presence on pilgrimage to the fullness of his purposes in the world. Can I invite you, if you're able, please stand. Let's lift our holy hands together. If you're at home, we're going to pray as our Lord taught us to, and pray the Lord's Prayer together. If you're able to, let's lift our hands in prayer. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.